This is Joe Burns.
And Chad P.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Rock School Podcast.
We think you'll learn something.
Now remember, if you want to hear the show with all the music in place, go to KSLU.org and stream the show live, Thursdays at 5.
And Sundays at 4.
It's a new show every week.
Now enjoy this week's Rock School Radio Show.
Portions of the day's programming are reproduced by means of electrical transcriptions or tape recordings.
It's time for school. Rock School. With your hosts, Dr. Joe Burns.
God, you're sharp as a bowling ball, you know that? That's going in the front.
And Chad P.
You don't have to bust open the amplifier and pull the copper wire and attach it to a car battery.
I do.
Class is in.
This is Rock School, whether you like it or not. I'm Joe Burns, a professor in the communication department, Southeastern Louisiana University. Sitting to my immediate right, he's still a little nervous this week. We're still in the brand new studio, and apparently we're going to be here for what, 3 months?
3 months.
Oh, and it goes on. What's your name, young man?
My name is Chad P.
There you go. Now, Chad, this week I've chosen a topic that I've been thinking about doing, but I don't know. It's one of these topics I ran past my wife, and she kind of, you know, closed one eye a little bit and went, That sounds a little technical, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to do
fine.
It anyway.
It'll be fine. We've been thinking about this topic since kindergarten.
Okay. Boston.
Boston.
You like Boston?
I love them.
You like the group Boston?
I really do. I love them.
All right. Now, Boston has a bunch of albums and a bunch of songs that everybody knows, but the quote that I like is that the only time that the Boston sound has been duplicated was on the second Boston album. It's such a distinct sound. Why? Because of Tom Scholz. Everybody can basically throw out the fact that Tom Scholz has a master's degree from MIT.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the guy is a certified genius, a certified electronic genius. How does he get the Boston sound? Why can you not equal that sound? Why doesn't any other group sound like Boston? Well, being guitarist, and as you've said, we're all little mad scientists.
Many engineers.
Yeah, many engineers. I've actually taken the time, and this is something I've done, you know, over the years. I've read this, and I've read that, and I've gleaned this little bit of information. I've basically put together, in my mind, and this is the first time I've actually put it all together on paper, an idea. It's never been specifically said, this is how the Boston sound is created, because, you see, you're not allowed to know how it's done. Tom Scholz has this place called the Hideaway Studio where it's done.
There's no book, Boston for Dummies?
Well, no, not really. And even if there was, it would be a good guess.
Okay.
So what I've done is I've looked at the Scholz research and development equipment, and I've read about them, and I have what I think is a pretty good guess on how the Boston sound is put together and why it doesn't sound like anybody else. So we're going to play Boston today. I'm going to talk about how the sound is put together, why it took the guy forever to make albums, and we're going to listen to a lot of great Boston music.
I love Boston songs.
Sounds like a good time?
I was listening to Boston on my way to work 3 days ago.
Perfect. Perfect, perfect. We'll start. Let's have some peace of mind.
Why not?
When we get back, I'll tell you at least how I think the guitar was put together. Boston Rock School.
You did good, Doc. You did good.
Is it good? I mean, do you think the music can hold the hour?
Oh, no doubt.
I think it can, too.
Can hold my attention, too. Yeah.
Now, we're going to talk about the technical side of Boston here. Now, when you were listening to that song, I should have told you to listen to it up front. When he was going into the solo, did you hear the note When he struck it, it hung on. Not only did it hang on, but it seemed to increase in volume, increase in amplitude. How do you get that? How do you get such a sound?
I don't know. I'm a drummer.
I think the reason Boston sounds the way it does is a series of heavily modified equipment, modified stock gear that Tom Scholz was able to create because of all of this knowledge he garnered from MIT.
Okay.
Now, here's the big thing that I think gives him the sound through, you know, his amplifiers and such. And the reason I know a lot of this stuff is because he created a company called SR&D, Scholz Research and Development.
Hmm.
And it was big from the 1980s into 1995 when he finally quit and sold it all to Dunlap. I think the big thing that gives him the sound are his amplifiers, or is his amplifier. The big thing that creates this ability for the guitar to sound the way it does and to hang on to a note and to hold it and to not decay off like most amplifiers do is something called a power soak.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the concept behind it. The way Van Halen got his sound was he took his guitar amplifier and he turned it up to 11. Every knob he could do, he turned it up as high as he did. And then he used this thing called a variac, where he increased or decreased the amount of voltage coming out of the wall.
Okay.
So he overdrove the amplifier. That was how you got certain sounds out of a guitar. You turned it up to a volume called Kill Birds in the Sky. The problem was, you can't do that to an amplifier in the studio very easily. You'll blow the tubes, you'll do all this kind of stuff, and you can't recreate it very well live. So what Scholz did was recreate this thing called a power soak that allowed him to put a gain not only on the volume, but on the preamp and the amplifier. Thus, and I know this gets technical, thus you could turn the amplifier up as loud as you wanted it, get the sound you wanted, because a guitar really starts to scream and cry and give you that sound you want
mm-hmm.
when it's very, very loud. Once you got that sound, once you said, that's it, that's the exact sound I wanted, you go to the power soak, you turn the volume down.
Oh.
Now the guitar amplifier sounds like it does, but at a lower volume.
So it's really loud, but not really loud.
It's, well, it's however loud you want it to be, but it's pulled back. So he's able to get the exact sound he wants in the guitar.
At a comfortable volume.
At a comfortable volume.
Okay.
And that power soak gave him not only control over the preamplifier and the amplifier, but also gain between the two of them. Nobody else had that. So that's how that guitar allowed him to sound like it did and sound different than anybody else. That's number one.
Ah.
There's also a different kind of amplifier.
Of course there is.
And I'll tell you that in just a little bit, as we continue with, how does Boston sound like Boston? Well, probably because they're a rock and roll band on Rock School. Boston and the Rock and Roll Band, and the sound that he gets comes from the fact that he's playing the same type of amplifiers, same type of guitars and such that you and I would play, except because of his MIT knowledge, Tom Scholz is able to alter all of the stock equipment to get the sound that he wants. Furthermore, he's an absolute nut in the studio. He overproduces everything, and I'll tell you a little bit more later on in the show how long it takes him to put out albums. Well, if you're at all a Boston fan, you know how long it takes a guy to put out albums. But let me tell you about amplifiers, something else that Boston is known for in terms of their amplifiers. The general makeup in terms of amplifiers, at the time Boston was huge, you know, the original came out in 1979. Boston, by the way, went 17 times platinum. It was the highest selling debut album at one point in time. The big thing at that point in time was a 100 watt head, a 100 watt amplifier head.
Okay.
And all you did was just keep doubling and doubling and doubling and doubling. right? You just kept, if you wanted it louder, you bought another one, and then another one, and then another one, and then another one. Mm-hmm. And you ran it through, you know, a big cabinet, what's known as a 4x12, a cabinet that had four 12-inch speakers in it.
Gotcha.
This guy, when he finally started marketing his own amplifiers, marketed what he had created. He created a 500-watt head.
What?
It was literally five times the power of a 100-watt head. So what? So what? The so what was, think of sound as pressure, as in my hand pushing against your ear. If I have 100 watts, I can put out X amount of pressure. Mm-hmm. If I have 500 watts, I can put out, it's not exactly five times, but I can put out a tremendous amount more pressure. Thus, not only louder, but a wider array, a stronger signal, more bass. I can push more amplifiers. It's a thicker sound. It can be a better sound. And this guy had the knowledge to be able to take this amplifier and create this better sound through it. When he started actually marketing this thing, the Rockman amplifier at 500 watts apiece, it could not only run your guitar, but it could run the PA system.
Good night.
You could run your guitar through the amplifier and through the PA system through one shot. It was designed and marketed through not only Rockman, which was his company, and Carvin Amplifiers in one shot.
Wow.
So that's another reason Boston sounds only like Boston. Another one from him on Rock School. This is Rock School as we talk about Boston. Tom Scholz, that genius from MIT, and how he gets that Boston sound. It was once said the only time that Boston sound was duplicated is when Boston released another album. That one from the debut album, the Boston number one selling debut album for the longest time, recorded mostly at the Fox Club Studios in Watertown, Massachusetts. Tom Scholz was listed as the producer, but every album after that was the Tom Scholz Hideaway Studio in Maynard, Massachusetts. The thing about it is, you'll never really get a definitive answer from him on how he put his sound together. I remember in a Guitar Player magazine one time, he offered an interview, and when it came time to do the interview, he said, just send me some questions over email. And when they sent him a question, it was some silly thing like, how do you use an Echoplex, or why do you use an Echoplex? And his answer was, to keep dogs away. So he doesn't really want to give any of his secrets away. So what you're getting from me is at least my theory of how the Boston sound is created. We've talked about the power soak. We've talked about the amplifier. When we get back, we're going to talk about the distortion on the amplifier. He must just use a distortion pedal, right? You step on it and you get a distortion.
No, if it were that simple, the show wouldn't be interesting.
Yeah. Hello, KLSU. Thank you for running Rock School.
And hello, KSCL in Shreveport. Thank you for running Rock School.
We're running late. We got to take a quick break. Back in 1 minute. Rock School. That's a fantastic bed.
Oh, thank you.
That's great. I'm glad you found that again.
Me too.
Or did you recreate it?
No, I found it.
Oh, fantastic. Now, you can hear on his guitar, on Tom Scholz's guitar, that there is distortion. Does he get it through the amplifier? I don't think so. Does he turn up the amplifier real loud and get it? No, I don't think so. I think it's done through a distortion pedal because it's not overdrive. It's blatantly distortion. But I don't think he uses just a basic distortion pedal. Why? Because when he created his company, SR&D, Scholz Research and Development, he put out a distortion pedal. And if he put out the pedal, then he probably was using something equal to it when he was recording at Boston. Doesn't that sound logical?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Now, a concept, the basic distortion pedal, is just a distortion pedal. You click on it, boom, and it creates distortion over the entire envelope of sound of the guitar.
Yes.
Not him.
Of course not.
He created, it's not even a pedal, it's what's known as a rack mount system. It's a very large thing. Think of it about the shape and size of a home CD player. So it has much more electronic guts inside of it. It can cover a lot more electronic envelope. And not only does it distort just the guitar, its frequency bands are set to the guitar. You can't use it on a keyboard. Well, you can, but it won't do it very well. It's set just for a guitar. And furthermore, it distorts the guitar over three frequency bands, not as a whole. So you can turn down just the distortion on the high end, just the distortion on the middle, or just the distortion on the bass. I don't know of any other pedal you can do that with. So that's how he gets that perfect distortion. Here's a look at the distortion. So don't look back. Rock School. School, as we talk about the music of Boston. Now, let me ask you a quick question.
What?
You
me
were
or
listening
the audience?
To that song. No, you. You were listening to that song. Did you hear any distortion on that guitar? You know, a lot of distortion, right?
Yeah.
But did you hear it overdrive? Did you hear it distort? I mean, did you, when it was being recorded, did you hear it sort of overdrive the recording process?
No.
You know what I mean? There's a reason why. There's a reason why it didn't do that. And
of
it's not
is.
Because it was well recorded. Well, that's probably part of it. He, Tom Scholz, created something that stops it.
Of course he did.
Disallows it. And I'll tell you about that in
One
second.
I would be the world's worst electric guitarist, okay? Number one, my fingers won't move in the right positions to where it doesn't sound like anything that's overtly grotesque.
Yes, they will.
I would buy a guitar and an amp, I guess, plug it in, turn the knobs up, play it. Ugh, that sounds kind of bad, but I can't do anything with it.
No,
you buy a guitar, an amplifier, and a screwdriver.
Sure.
And the first thing you do, you don't even bother on plugging it up.
No,
you take it apart and go to messing with it. You're not supposed to do that.
No. There's a lot of guitarists that are just like you're talking about. Paul Stanley of Kiss is one of them. Makes it very clear. If you can't do it with your guitar and your amplifier, you can't do it.
Well, hurrah! There you go.
That's all he does. He plays off the wall. I've talked about this before. Guitarists that do what's known as playing off the wall.
Mm-hmm.
They don't use, you know, it's modified a bit. I mean, they use a certain kind of string. They use a certain kind of pick.
Well, that's fine. But, I mean, you know, you don't have to bust open the amplifier and pull the copper wire and attach it to a car battery.
I do.
No!
Oh, I've torn my...
Leave it alone!
I've torn my amps and guitars apart to the point where I couldn't get them back together.
No, you see...
Oh,
no.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah. Welcome to the bottom of the hour, plus 3 minutes. My name is Joe Burns.
My name's Chad P.
There you are. Hey,
sorry,
we don't give
it.
The email address enough. Give the email address.
KSLURockSchool@gmail.com. KSLURockSchool@gmail.com. If you agree with me, I would love to hear from you because I am totally... You just quit... Quit messing with it.
Let's do some drum shows.
Okay.
All right.
All right, fine.
This is 7 days in 70 seconds. Monday, June 15th through Sunday, June 21st. Something that happened way back when in music on this day. Chad, please.
I will on this day, June 15th, 1958, the Platters performed Twilight Time on the Ed Sullivan Show.
June 16th, back in 1967, the Monterey Pop Festival begins in California. 50,000 fans show up to see The Who, Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, along with Otis Redding, Ravi Shankar, Grateful Dead, Birds, Jefferson Airplane. I just picked out a few more there.
June 17th, 1965, the Kinks arrive in New York for the first American tour.
June 18th, 1948, Columbia Records publicly unveils its new long-playing 33 and a third RPM phonograph record, New York City.
In 1988, on June 19th, over 3,000 East Germans gathered at the Berlin Wall to hear Michael Jackson perform a concert. The only problem was is that he was on the west side of the Berlin Wall.
Yeah, but they can't stop. Sound. June 20th, 1969, Jimi Hendrix earns $125,000 for a single set at the Newport Jazz Festival, a record for a single show at that point in time. And finally, to wrap up the week, 21 days into June, that was a Sunday back in 1990, Little Richard receives a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Now, before we got into 7 days and 70 seconds, I asked Chad if he heard any overdrive in the recording. Why? because it was well recorded? Yeah, maybe. But see, instruments can overdrive. Voices can overdrive. You hear us every so often.
Overdrive this microphone.
Why did you do that?
Well, I just was making a point. Why do you not hear that with Boston? Well recorded? Maybe, but also because Tom Scholz created something called a smart gate. It was sold through Scholz Research and Development, but probably around at that point in time. Yes, sir?
I'm going to make a well-educated guess that Tom Scholz is probably a multi-quadzillionaire with all these things he's inventing, correct?
Well, he's been sued a lot, but I guess there's a little bit of money hanging around.
You think?
Here's what it does. When this gate hears notes that are about to sibilance or distort, it cuts them. It disallows the distortion in the recording. It's called a smart gate.
Oh.
He sold them, probably had it at the same time he was recording. Here's another one from Boston.
My favorite one.
On Rock School.
Yeah, beautiful utilization of the Hammond B3 organ right there, which you can catch. We did a whole show about the B3 organ back a few months back.
Sure.
That is on our website, kslu.org. Look for the Rock School chalkboard on the right-hand side. Click on the episodes page and scroll down and look for the Hammond B3 organ show. I believe we actually did that song, Smokin'
exactly.
By Boston. That is my absolute all-time favorite Boston song. I will stop everything. If that song, if that song's on the radio and I'm late for work, you just may as well mark me tardy because I'm listening to the song.
I will stop this car if I
That's
have
right.
to.
Don't make me.
You have Amanda
uh-huh.
hooked up next?
I
Amanda's
sure do.
Ready to go? Okay, yep. That's perfect because that plays into this. I've been talking about all of the electronic wizardry that Tom Scholz does. This guy is also a real picky son of a gun in the studio. 76 was when Boston came out, the original album, 17 times platinum.
All right.
The second one comes out in 78, but here's the thing. They started working on it, Boston did, in 1977, recording the tracks. Scholz was playing with this thing in his hideaway studio. The record company, CBS, got so upset they actually started to bring suit against him.
Why?
After 6 months, saying, look,
you
got a hand in the album.
Oh.
And finally, before a lawsuit could be brought, Scholz handed over the tapes and said, you can have it, but only the first side is done. 6 months.
Oh,
and he
wow.
only had the first side done. Furthermore, it wasn't until 1986. Now, remember, Don't Look Back came out in 78.
Right.
It wasn't until 1986 that Third Stage came out. That's Amanda.
Oh, wow.
So that's, I mean, what is that? 86 minus 7? That's 8 years
that
thing came out. CBS grew so impatient that they actually began to withhold royalties from Tom Scholz. Scholz complained. CBS then fired a $20 million breach of contract lawsuit against the guy. Scholz countersued CBS, and the two parties spent a whole bunch of time arguing in court. Finally, he was ordered not to release any music under the name of Boston, but in 1985, the lawyers got the injunction lifted, and Scholz moved off to MCA Records, and we all got a good album. Went to number one, only sold 4 times platinum, but they got a number one hit out of it, and I believe you have it queued up.
I do.
This is Amanda. Rock School.
You know something I really don't like?
I don't know. Let me pull my lighter down.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it's a great song. Great
extinguished
ballad.
It.
Every good band has to have a good ballad. But I'm going to tell you something about this particular song that really chaps my hide. It's guys that have girlfriends that are not named Amanda.
Has three syllables.
It has the three syllables, and then they try to duplicate it. Take you realize, Rebecca.
Stephanie. That doesn't fit.
No, yeah. I want to hit somebody. Let me ask you a question.
Shoot.
I mean, all this great information about how the Boston sound becomes the Boston sound.
How I think the Boston Sound.
Well, I mean, it makes perfect sense what you're saying, but okay. I haven't heard anything about the bass player. I haven't heard anything about the drummer. I haven't heard anything about Brad Delp.
Well, Brad Delp was the voice.
Brad Delp was one of my top five all-time best lead men.
Not a question.
So Tom Scholz, are you saying that they would get in the recording studio and then they would Brad Delp would spit out some lyrics and then the drummer would put in his drums and the bass player his stuff and then Tom would say, okay, thank you all, go home. I'll be in my cabin for the next 8 months trying to make this thing a hit.
A lot of that. And furthermore, as the albums went on and on and on, except for the vocals, a lot of the instrumentation, including a lot of the drums, was played by Scholz.
Really?
Scholz was originally a keyboardist. All of that beautiful Hammond B3 organ. That's Tom Scholz.
So Tom Scholz is Boston.
Yeah, pretty
much. No doubt about it.
As the albums went on, more and more musical sections of it, again, including the drums, were done by Scholz.
Oh,
and Delp was the voice.
I digress.
There you go. Take that. We have to take a break. Get us on iTunes. Please go look for us on iTunes, and someone across the pond loves us too.
That's right. Radio Universidad in Salamanca, Spain. They're going to love this show.
When we come back, we're going to talk about his secret weapon. Back in a minute. Rock School.
Boston makes me feel good.
New beds are always great.
I'm technically afraid of a ghost. Okay. Now, Chad wanted to hear this one, More Than a Feeling.
It's a song that hooked me on Boston.
Oh,
I gotta have it.
Everybody knows it. Now, when you listen to the acoustic 12-string guitar at the beginning, it's going to have a little bit of an echo on it. So what? When you read about Rockman RS&D, Scholz, SR&D, Scholz Research and Development.
Wait, let me try to guess. Scholz invented echoes.
No, he didn't.
Echoes did not exist until Scholz came along.
No, not at all. However, there is this pedal that people talk about. It's called the Hyperspace pedal.
Mm-hmm.
It was never released, and there are supposedly pictures of it and such, but it was never released. It's a type of echo. It's a type of echo that was built specifically for the guitar, and apparently it's how he got that beautiful echo on his instrument. And again, why only Boston sounds like Boston, and I think, which is why this 12-string guitar sounds like this 12-string guitar. Boston, More Than a Feeling, and I think the Hyperspace pedal on Rock School.
Clapping invention by Tom Scholz.
No, I don't think he has anything like that. That's from the debut back in 76. Don't Look Back came out in 78. Third Stage, 1986. The next one we're going to play to wrap up the whole show is from Walk On, 1994. Corporate America came out in 2002. And guess what we're supposed to get in 2009?
What?
Yet another album.
Really?
Believe it or not.
Yeah, but see, I doubt it. I don't know what to think because my cousin went to see them. They were played recently in Baton Rouge alongside Styx. And
yeah.
I don't think that it's because of the passing of Brad Delp. It very well could be because, like you said, the sound is impossible to duplicate.
It wasn't very good, was it?
The review that I got, yeah. Styx rocked. Boston, thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah, I've heard that a lot. They also got in trouble for using tapes. When they were early in their career. It's something, the sound, because of the amplifiers and because of the way it's recorded, it's a sound that is extremely difficult to reproduce live. I mean, the equipment is there. It's the amplifier. You see, it's the manipulation of audio.
Mm-hmm.
Once audio's inside of the wires, you can do anything you want with it.
Right.
Once it gets out into the air, it's sound.
But surely he had to think about that, though, Doc. I mean, part of being a rock band is you tour, you play live, and that's what the people want to hear. So why put together a sound that you won't be able to give the people when you play?
Ask the Beatles.
Okay.
Beatles did the same
thing. I'm going to see him later on today.
I'll ask. Yeah, see what Paul McCartney has to say about that whole thing. We'll finish up with a song off of the 1994 album. It went platinum, but that's it. Walk On. So that's going to do it. I'm Joe Burns.
I'm Chad P.
Hey, class is dismissed.